Hello, everyone, and welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I am your host, Pete Castanis. This is episode 11, and this episode is brought to you by Lowenbrau Beer. And here is a commercial from the late 1970s.
Here's to good friends. Tonight is kind of special. The beer we'll pour must say something more somehow. So tonight, let it be Lowenbrau.
Let it be Lowenbrau.
It's been so long. Hey, I'm glad to see you. Raise your glass. Here's to health and happiness. So tonight, let it be all the best.
When you're with good friends having good times, don't just have a beer, have a Lowenbrau. Because good friends and good times deserve the taste of a great beer. And there's really only one, Lowenbrau.
Tonight, let it be Lowenbrau.
Okay, everyone, that was fun to listen. I chose that particular commercial because it's one of my favorites, and I'll tell you a little history about that commercial and the beer itself. Now, when I first saw it, they used to air it on Saturday Night Live, and with the original the original cast. Which was John Belushi, Jane Curtin, Chevy Chase, Gilda Radner, and so on. And like I said before, they used to air this during the show. And the singing voice in that commercial, it sounded so velvety. And I thought it was Lou Rawls because it does sound like him. And then I just found out earlier today it was not him. It was not him at all. And because I remember Lou Rawls, and he was a wonderful singer. He was from Chicago, and he recorded a lot of songs. And I remember the promos he sang for WGN-TV Channel 9 in the early 80s. Well, maybe earlier, mid 80s. And you can still find those on YouTube. Now, the name of the singer that recorded the singing in the commercials, his name was Arthur Prysok, spelled P-R-Y-S-O-K. And he sounded similar to him, so I had to look him up, and I played a couple of songs on the YouTube channel. And he sounded just like him, and I never knew. He recorded a lot of songs for a long time. He had a disco song in the 70s. I'll download that and see. So he did sound like him. Anyway, the commercials aired from the late 70s. The Lowenbrau beer commercials aired from the late 70s and 1980s. And I've had the beer once. It was not bad, and it was... It was from Munich, Germany. It was there for a long time. And then someday I didn't see it, on display at liquor stores or other type of stores. It's still made, but according to some sources, it was sold to a Canadian brewery. And I've heard from people it's not the same. Same taste as the old one. So that's just like Schlitz. So maybe they changed the recipe. I haven't seen it in quite a while. I'm sure it's around in certain areas in the United States or in Chicago too. So if I do see it, I might buy it because, well, I'm not a beer drinker. I seldom drink. So I only drink like for special occasions, or I'm not a big fan of wine either. Excuse me. So there you go. So now this is episode 11, and I'm going to speak about a few things that happened the past week. I'm going to talk about two actors that passed away that were well known in television. The first one, his name was Lee Acker. And he was famous for his starring role as Rusty of B Company in the TV series The Avengers of Rin Tin Tin that was aired in the 1950s. I'm not familiar with the show. I've heard of, I've read about it. I've seen a few episodes on Antenna TV. I don't have that channel anymore because I switched cable companies. And I saw it a couple of times on the weekend. It was very entertaining. And the dog, Rin Tin Tin, he's so cute. He was a very bright dog. You know, he would listen to you. Anyway, so the show ran, I'll tell you when it ran. I'll look it up. Okay, the show started in October 15th, 1954, and ended in May 8th, 1959. So it ran a good 5 years. And Lee Ecker's co-star, his name was James Brown, not the singer. And I remember seeing him on a few TV shows. So there were a lot of guest stars, and some played multiple roles on the show. And so it was quite enjoyable. I hope it comes on DVD. I would buy it, because I'm a collector and I would love to see it. So getting back to Lee Ecker, he was been acting for almost all his life. He starred in two famous films in the 1950s, The Greatest Show on Earth and High Noon. And he was acting for a long time until he reached adulthood. And then he quit or couldn't find work. And it was kind of sad because when I read his obituary, he was homeless or he had a poverty. So that was terrible to him. So that's a shame. You know, he seemed like a cute kid on the show. Very talented. Okay, so the next actor I will talk about is, I hope I pronounced his name right, is Felix Sylla. And he is famous for playing Cousin It on The Addams Family. And the show started in September 1964. He wasn't there on every episode, but he was one of my favorites, character. I was thinking his Lurch. The first time you see Cousin It, he was like a big, hairy ball of hair, fur. Later on, he wore dark sunglasses and a hat, a bowler. And whenever he spoke gibberish. So you don't know what he said, but I think the only couple of people that understood him was Morticia and Gomez Adams. And whenever he stayed, he stayed up in the Adams's attic. And I remember one episode where he was so short, you know, and when some of the family members came to visit, they had to slouch down, and it was funny. Because he was so cute, he's so little. And I remember the first time I saw the Addams Family was on Channel 32 in the early 70s. He showed the reruns. And then later on, aired on Channel 44 and Channel 60 on WPWR. And then it changed to 50. And I've watched the show. I'm a big fan of it. It was in competition with the Munsters in the 60s. To be honest, I love the Munsters. It's much more funnier. And I think it's more slapstick. But Adam's Family, it was funny, but it was more a little sophisticated than them. And there was always this debate who was the better family, the Addams Family or the Munsters. So it's hard to choose. So I like both of them. I have the both shows on DVD, so I enjoy them all the time. Anyway, so Felix Sylla, he was not just an actor, he was a stuntman. And he was famous for being on Battlestar Galactica in the 1970s, a TV show. And he played Tweaky, which I didn't know. I did know. I didn't watch the show much when it aired, but it's got a cult. And I remember Lauren Green was there, Richard Hatch, and I don't know who else was in the cast. So I could look it up. Oh, here we go. Yeah, it was Lauren Green. A lot of famous people. It only ran about 1 year. So that's pretty amazing. So that's so sad about the actor who played Cousin It. He was he appeared in a lot of TV shows. He's one of the few survivors of the actors in Addams Family. The only one who's left is John Astin and Lisa Loring, who played Wednesday Addams. So he died yesterday of pancreatic cancer of age 84. Okay, now we're going to talk about other things. Let's see what we have. First thing off, I will talk about there was a post yesterday on Facebook. I posted about Chances Are restaurants, and the moment I post that, everyone remembered it at that time. So the first I believe the first location was in the Old Town neighborhood in Chicago, located at 1533 North Wells Street, and it opened 1961. And it was a very, very nice place. I heard the hamburgers were delicious. And then it's nice when you have a burger, a nice cold mug of beer, from what I've told. And they also had the peanut, and they was the waitresses would serve you peanuts, and then you would throw the shells on the floor. It sounded like the other restaurants that are no longer on was the Pickle Barrel and Ground Round, which I remember. And let's see. One of the owners, his name was Richard Baldwin. And at the time when they opened in Old Town wasn't very, chic. It was kind of run down, but now it's nice, very nice. But there were a lot of things have changed. Soon there were and then they opened more locations. There was one in Hyde Park, River Oaks in Calumet City, in Skokie, Palatine, and in Champaign, and one location in Michigan, the state of Michigan. And it was a great restaurant during the 60s where all the hippies hung out. And there was so that I never I wish I tried that restaurant. I heard it was very interesting, but I found menus for years on eBay and online, and it looked very good. They had other items there too. So we'll get to the no, we won't get to that. We don't have time. Okay. All right. Another thing I would like to talk about is here's a man called, his name was Don McNeil, and he was a radio host. He was very famous in Chicago in the old days. If you mention his name now, I doubt anyone will remember. Anyone under 50 will not know him. Maybe under 40, we'll see. And he started a radio show. It was called Don McNeil's Breakfast Club. And it was on the ABC network. And it was on ABC first, but I think NBC was first. And that show ran from June 23rd, 1933, through December 27, 1968, and it was on for about 35 and a half years. That's a long time, and I think it's the only one that's the longest. When I was growing up, I didn't really remember him. I didn't hear him on the radio. My parents didn't, because they didn't understand English when, in the old days in the 60s. So I read up some interesting history about him, and it was like when you have morning shows like the Today Show, Good Morning America, WGN, Morning News. You have a little of, you have variety. You have singers on. You would tell jokes, and he would. The only thing I don't the Today Show, they don't, or any of the morning shows, they don't hawk sponsors, but Don McNeil did. And his the most popular sponsor at the time was Swift and Company. I remember the hot dogs and the ham and Butterball turkey was born from there. And it sold off to another company. I don't know if Swift is still around. I think I saw a product on Jewel the other day. I think it's around somewhere. Not in Chicago. They got a big presence here. The Breakfast Club was aired from at first at the Merchandise Mart. Then it It was broadcasted at other hotels in the Chicago area and downtown Chicago. It was at the Morrison Hotel, and it was a place called the Terrace Casino, the College Inn Porterhouse at the Sherman House, and the last one was at the Tip Top Room of the Allerton Hotel, which is still there on Michigan Avenue. And he was there until 1968, and he died. Let's see. I forgot when he died. He died in May 7, 1996. So a lot of people who worked in radio or have been in the business, they knew who he was. And I posted, this is the first time I posted of him on Facebook. He did have a TV show. It aired in 1950, but it only ran for 1 year. I don't know why. Maybe it didn't work on TV. It worked well on television. And then the show returned in 1950s. It returned later on, but it didn't work. So he was a very popular man, like I said before. And I think there were yearbooks printed for the show. I've seen a lot of them on eBay. And I looked at them and I read them. It was nice seeing all that. So he's mostly forgotten for most people, which is a shame because he was one of a kind. So that's about it for him. The next thing I want to talk about is another restaurant called Town and Country. I posted menus and photos of that place, and a lot of people remembered it and they loved it. They loved the restaurant. There was two locations. Let's see. One was at 1500 West North Avenue, right about east of Ashland. And the other location was in, I think, Rogers Park. Let me get the address. I think I want to say it right. So it's at, it was on Ridge Avenue. So it was 5970 North Ridge Avenue. Between Clark and Peterson. And I've remembered this restaurant. Somebody mentioned it, never went there. And they remember, like when you go to these restaurants, they always have the desserts out front displayed, all cakes, pies, pastries. Oh, and I've seen a lot of menus from that place, and they look absolutely good. Looks delicious. So I have a menu up. And I read a couple things they made. Fudge cakes, chocolate rum whip cake. Sounds good. Sounds like Dressel's, only they had alcohol in it. And let's see, they had pies, all kinds of pies. And let's see, for their entrees, they had the famous town burger. They had fried chicken, prime rib, sirloin steak, lobster tails. And Italian spaghetti, of course. So it looks so good. It seemed like a very popular place. There's a little history about that place where when Harold Washington died in 1987, they would try to select who would be the next mayor, because I worked at City Hall at the time where he passed away. I worked at the Board of Elections. And when that happened, when he died, it was the atmosphere was so tense. Oh, it was scary. I didn't like that. I think people were shocked or didn't want to say anything. But I remember that lasted about a day or two. Then everything went to normal. So they tried. And so a lot of people from the city council met at the Town and Country restaurant on North Avenue. And they chose the alderman, Eugene Sawyer, which I remembered him. He seemed like a very nice man. And he served as mayor for 2 years. And when he ran for the election, Richard M. Daley Jr. won. And Eugene Sawyer died in 2008. So a lot of people remember the signs of the restaurant. You know, from the Kennedy, when you drive on the Kennedy Expressway, I think it was shown. I don't know. All I remember from that area is the Morton Salt factory. And that's been it's closed now, and I think there's be some redevelopment that's going to happen there. You know, but that's so iconic, you know, that place. Okay. So let's see. Yeah, it's been a busy week. You know, there was two deaths from Hollywood. And, interesting. Don McNeil's Breakfast Club aired on Channel 7. The call letters were WENR. And then it turned into WBKB, and then it turned to WLS in October 1968. WBKB was on Channel 2, but it was Channel 4. Then they switched it to Channel 2. I don't know the whole history of that. That was strange. That was in the 50s, starting in 1953. And so a lot of people don't remember the former call letters of Channel 7. We always known as WLS, same call letters as radio station. Okay, so that'll be all for today. And I hope you enjoyed my show and joining me. I'm getting a little better recording. I'm still a little nervous. I'm not an announcer or an actor. I'm just me. So I enjoyed talking with you. And hopefully I will do another podcast episode. Maybe tomorrow, we'll see. But perhaps Tuesday. And I hope it will be more interesting than today. Every episode I play does get interesting. And you, as I go along, I learn more things. Okay, so that'll be all for today. This is episode 11 of Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis, and I hope to join with you very, very soon. Take care and goodbye now.